Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Allow me to go before the throne room of grace as we get this Bible study going on this evening. Father, we thank you once again for this beautiful evening. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and we praise you in the wonderful name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 14 through 24. 14 through 24. Let me get our screen prepared right now, and we'll get into our word. Amen. And here we go. I've entitled this evening's message, "We Have Passed from Death to Life." We have passed from death to life. And so, my friends, I'm excited about this teaching in 1 John. 1 John has been an intriguing epistle, and it's reiterated throughout the whole epistles, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, regarding loving your enemy, loving your brother, loving your sister. And so he's emphatically empowered by the Holy Spirit to write this down. And there's purpose for that, because we cannot operate in the body of Christ having odds with one another, having division with one another, hating one another. We're going to see in the Word of God tonight how God looks at that. And I'd rather be on the side of God than to be opposed against God's will. And so, with that said, I'm excited. Let's get into the Word of God and let's have the Holy Spirit have its way. Amen. And so, once again, it is entitled, "We Have Passed from Death to Life." Praise God. Let's read. 1 John 3, 14 through 24. "We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren." That's the key right there, saints. "He who does not love his brother abides in death." Wow. "Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him." Wow. "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us." Who was he? The Lord Jesus Christ. "And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Key passage of scripture. Let's move on to verse 17. "But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him?" Verse 18. "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts," what? "Before him." Look at this. In verse 20, it says, "For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart," praise God, "and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God." Verse 22. "And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." Did you catch that, saints? Key verse of scripture. Pleasing, doing things pleasing in his sight. And verse 23, 24. "And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him." Look at this. "And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us." Wow. Wow. I need you to catch that, saints of God. That is so key, so critical. Praise God. You see, saints, the world may hate Christians, but Christians must express love for one another. Love for fellow believers proves that a believer has passed from the realm of death to the sphere of eternal life. Praise God. Praise God. Look, I have a scripture found in John 5:24. Let's look at this. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Wow. Wow. We have to read that once again. You see, saints, their love does not earn them eternal life, which is the believers. Instead, their love, our love, is evidence that we, you, already have eternal life by loving our brother and sisters. Can I get an amen? It's proof. It's evidence within us. If we have ought and we can't stand people and we hate them, something's out of order. Something needs to change. There needs to be repentance taking place. Can I get an amen in the house? Let's look at this one scripture that we can look back to, found in John 20. Look at this, John 24. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has what? Everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Wow. Wow. Did you catch that, saints of God? Now, we can go back to 1 John 2:10 and 11. Look at this. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Wow. Wow. Did you catch that? Did you catch that? You see, saints, Christians must ask whether they have this love. If they do, then they can be sure that they have eternal life. And this is the will be, and this will be publicly revealed when the Lord Jesus Christ appears, when he comes back for his church. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? Aren't you so blessed? Look what else I found. I found this in John chapter 13. Look at this, 13 through 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I what? I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. You know, I asked this question, and I'm only being truthful about this. We've been renting for 3 years at Sweetwater Community Church. And never did we have to remove our equipment, which takes about 4.5 days to install. And now all of a sudden, we were given this addendum, contract addendum to sign, that on September 30th, which already has passed, and we did not sign it. But we were supposed to sign this contract addendum to remove all of our monitors, our audio, our cameras, and everything after we were through with our Sunday morning services, and then come back and put it in Sunday morning before we start our service. That was impossible, and they knew that was impossible, and that's how they were able to toss us out into the street. Oh, that's right. So you have to ask yourself, what kind of Christian would do that to another? Where's the love? We've been faithful there for 3 years. Matter of fact, who in their rightful mind, pays 1 year in advance from a tenant to a landlord? It's usually month to month. And so for 3 years, we paid a whole year in advance, and that's the treatment we got. You see, it's unfortunate, and I'm just being truthful and frankful, and you need to hear this. Those of you are going to wonder why we're not there at Sweetwater in a few weeks. They hired a company called Front Row, and it's a homosexual organization, and they're training kids to become actors and actresses, and they're there several days out of the week sharing the same building. We've been there for 3 years. In my personal opinion, yes, do they need to be saved? Yes. But they defiled that sanctuary. They defiled it. That's supposed to be a place of holiness, of righteousness, and they're walking in abominations. And so I believe that maybe it was just the Lord saying it's time to go. And guess what? Because of how they reacted to all this, we found another place right away. God opened up the door. Oh, that's right. So whatever was made evil against us, God turned it around for the good. Why? Because we love Him. And if there's only one agenda that we have, I need you to hear this clearly, and we're going to move on to our study. But if there's an agenda that Amazing Grace has had for the 3 years renting from Sweetwater Community Church, was just this. Lives were being transformed from darkness into light. People were getting saved, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that's right. And many have come into that saving knowledge, and we were rejoicing to watch their lives being transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the gospel has been preached. Praise God. That's the only agenda. And if that agenda is worthy of tossing us out in the street, so be it. So be it. And so we're going to leave with joy. We're going to leave with a song in our heart. And we're going to praise God. And we're going to thank God for opening the doors there. We've been there for 3 years. And now it's time for us that the glory cloud will move, and we will follow Him as He leads. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. I had to take a time out and share that with us, saints of God, because God is good and He's worthy to be praised. Can I get an amen in the house? Somebody give Him an amen in the house. There's no sad songs. There's no sad stories, but we're going to rejoice. Hallelujah. For what God is doing in the midst of His people. But there's another scripture I found regarding this biblical topic. And it's found right here in 1 John. Look at this. 1 John 5, 1 and 2. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, look at this, is born of God, and everyone who loves Him, who begot, also loves Him, is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God. When we what? When we love God and keep His commandments. Praise God. See, by contrast, a person who has no love is still dead. This is the condition of all people by nature. And a person who does not have love shows that he or she has not passed from death to eternal life. Wow. Look what else I found right up here. Look, as we continue with this evening's Bible study, we're going to be now in verse 15 of John, of 1 John chapter 3. And it says, whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life. Wow, abiding in him. I need you to catch that, saints. That's a serious, serious word of God there. Saints, if a heart is empty of love, hate fills in the void in that person's life. If a person hates someone, it is like wishing that the other were dead. And the Lord sees the inner desires as equal to the outward act that will result from it. Oh, that's right. Look what I found in Matthew. In Matthew 5, 21 through 22. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. Verse 22. But I say to you that whoever's angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Wow. Be careful, saints of God, how we entreat one another. Whether it's individually or you entreat a group. For us, we felt we were treated unfairly. But that's okay. No harm, no foul. We're leaving with joy. We're leaving with great joy. Whether they hate us or they can't stand us, whatever the case may be, we're leaving with great joy. They have to stand before God and give an account. Can I get an amen? You see, saints, anyone who hates another Christian is really a murderer at heart. Oh, that's right. Look what I found right here in John 8, 43 through 47. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word, Jesus said. You are of your father, the devil. He was telling the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, and all the unbelievers that hated him. Look at this. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Wow, look at this. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Jesus said. He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. Wow, that's cut and dry. That's cut and dry. Wow, that's... Listen, take it up with Jesus. Jesus spoke of these things and they were written down. I rather believe the word of God, which Jesus is the word. Oh, that's right. And guess what he said? He said, I put my word above my name. So God's word is forever settled in heaven. You better take that to the bank. When you read scriptures like that, you better know what God is saying and believe what he is saying. Whether people believe this or not, it doesn't matter. It's already written. And God will help hold all those accountable that are against what is written. Praise God. Let's move on. Let's move on to verse 16 of 1 John chapter 3. And it reads, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Praise God. Praise God. And this is not an option, saints of God. You see, saints, to understand real love, believers need only to look at their Lord, for example, the Lord Jesus Christ. They can know what real love is. Why? Because Christ gave up his life for all people. Praise God. For each and every one of us. You see, my friends, Christ's example shows believers that real love involves self-sacrifice. Oh, that's right. That's right. And he points out that what must result in sacrificial actions, sacrificial love. Oh, that's right. Let me show you right here in Romans 5, 6 through 10. Look at this. For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Look at this. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us. And while we were still sinners, Christ, what? Died for us. Praise God. Look at this in verse 9 and 10. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from what? Wrath through him. Wow. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall, what? Be saved by his life. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, because Christ is our perfect example, believers ought to give up their lives for all Christian brothers and sisters. And they do this by becoming truly concerned about the needs of their Christian brothers and sisters. And by what? Unselfishly giving time, effort, prayer, and possessions to supply those needs. And such an attitude, saints of God, would result in actually dying for a brother or sister if they were ever in that typical need and necessity that sometimes they need from you and I. You see, saints, our own lives should not be more precious to them than God's own son was to him. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Let's move on now to verse 17 of 1 John chapter 3. And we'll look at 18 as well. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up in his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Praise God. God, Jesus spells it out. The Holy Spirit spells it out as John wrote this down, my friends. We must take heed to it. We must believe what it says. Can I get amen? You see, saints, these verses give an example of how believers can lay down their lives for others to help those in need with their worldly goods. Seldom will believers, my friends, be called upon to experience martyrdom for another. It's happening, though, right now in China, in the Middle East. Oh, that's right. They're giving up their life because they love the Lord thy God all the way to their death. You know, will that come to America? Who knows? But one day it may. One day it may, and we may still be here should the Lord Jesus tarry. You got to ask yourself, where is their rapture? The ones that are being beheaded right now. The ones that are losing their life. You see, you've heard me say it before like this. It was not our decision to be born in a wealthy country like ours. It's strong militarily. It's very wealthy. But we see it eroding and corroding right before our eyes in real time. And so, sooner than later, we will catch up to all those who have persecuted the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's coming here. You see, my friends, however, every day, they will face needy people. You see them everywhere, whom they ought to be willing to help if they have the resources to do so. Most people have more than they need. And this parallels to James's teaching. Praise God. And you can find it in James chapter 2. Let's go there right now. Look at this. James chapter 2, 14 through 17. The Word of God reads, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it is done not," look at that, "if it does not have works, is what? Basically dead. Basically dead. You see, saints, believers should be willing to help a brother or sister in need. And I'm talking about a brother and sister in Christ. I'm not talking about unbelievers here. Unbelievers, they don't know who God is. A Christian who's in need will cry out to God. You know how it works? It works simply. If you cry out before God as a believer, and there are needs to be met in your life, and it seems like it's impossible, the way God brought food to Elijah through the birds, the ravens brought him food, God will touch people's hearts supernaturally and bless your life. Oh, yes. Unbelievers don't know how to cry out to God. Why? Because we have read time and time throughout this study, their father is the devil. Oh, I know that hurts, especially if they're related to you, if they're related to me. We're their earthly parents, but their spiritual parents is the devil until they become saved, until they become born again, filled with the power of God, walking in the anointing of God. But there are those who are anointed and they still have needs. And God will fulfill those needs. As they cry out to God, God will touch your heart, my heart, to bless them. Can I get an amen? You see, my friends, talk is cheap. So just by saying we love each other is not enough. Faith not accompanied by love for others is worthless. Love should be shown by actions. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. So now, let's move on. to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 19. And it reads, "And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him." Verse 20. "For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our hearts." Look at this. He's greater than our heart and knows all things. All things, not some things. He knows all things. He knows our beginning and our end, saints. You see, as Christians proceed in their lives with Christ, it will happen that their hearts will eventually sometimes condemn us. Why? Because there's a war between the spirit and the flesh. And sometimes our mind and our own ungodly heart will condemn us. Yet God is fighting for us. God is saying you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Oh, that's right. We're more than conquerors through Christ. You got to understand that if God be with you, who could be against you? Greater is he that lives in us than he that's in the world. You got to come to a place in your life that Jesus is Lord and Savior. Not just Savior, but Lord. And he will lead you and guide you. He will bless you and protect you. He will watch out for you. Oh, that's right. He'll destroy your enemies before you. Praise God. He will do the remarkable and the miraculous things that you cannot accomplish with your own strength. But here's the key. We have to be surrendered to him. We have to submit unto the Lordship of Christ. We have to say, Abba, Father, Christ, the Lord is King of our lives. And whatever is sitting on the throne of your heart, move it out of the way. Kick it out and put Jesus there. Can I get an amen? Once you make him truly Lord and King of your internal heart, he will do the miraculous. He will go before you. He will bless you. He will give you the joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. You see, my friends, whatever the source or overactive conscience, the realization that they don't love others enough, or even Satan's false accusations, they will feel the accusation. Why? Because the enemy's a liar and he's the father of them. And whenever this happens, saints of God, you and I can look at how we are living out our faith by the actions. Thus we know we are living in the truth. Listen, if you're walking by faith and not by sight, and you're doing your best to lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets you, and you are pressing toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus, that's when you have understood the principles of the Word of God. And then God will supernaturally bless your life. Praise God. He has blessed my life. I know for some of you that are watching, he has blessed your life because God is good and there is no darkness in him. God is great and he's worthy to be praised. He spoke the whole entire universe into existence so that we can abide on this one planet throughout the whole entire galaxies and universes that Hubble could barely see. They can't even see the end of it. Trillions and trillions and trillions of light years of vast universe. And he created this little planet perfectly for us to live. There's enough air and water and food and shelter. We're not baking up and burning up and we're not freezing to death. God made everything perfect for us. You got to believe what I'm saying to you, saints. And if he can make something beautiful for us to live in, what's hard for him to accomplish in your life? What's so hard for him to do the things that he has called us to be worthy of the walk and call in Christ Jesus? It's very simple. Remove the pride. Remove the pride from our life and cast it down and fall on our face before the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will do the rest. Praise God. And so in this context that we're speaking of in 1 John, the basis for our assurance is the good works that we should all be doing. Believers can be confident in God's presence by reminding ourselves that God's love has been activated in our lives. And with that power, you and I can help others. We'll be there to help others. It's all about helping one another. The ambiguity, saints of God, of the statement, "For God is greater than our hearts," has prompted two interpretations. Some see it as a consoling believers whose heart or our conscience sometimes condemn them of the sin that's in general. We are going to sin. We live in this sinful body. But greater, hear me out, greater is He that lives within us than he that is in the world. Praise God, praise God. You see, you and I can hold on to the sign of His sonship, God's love. Others think that the phrase intensifies John's warning. Oh yeah, the condemning voice of conscience merely echoes the judgment of God, who knows each life. And so, my friends, thus believers cannot gloss over or excuse their sins as insignificant. Oh, that's right. You see, because when we do sin, we fall into the conviction. And that's just a reminder that God has saved us from a hideous place called hell. So we need to always have a repentant heart toward God. We must always walk in His ways and in His will. And when we fall into sin, turn from it right away. Repent of it and cry out to God. And God says, "I will cleanse you and wash you." And so in both cases, saints of God, by claiming God's forgiveness through Christ and Christ alone, believers can come confidently to God, recognizing that His grace and mercy, hallelujah, hallelujah, is awesome. Let's look at this scripture again right up here. Let's look at that, saints. I want you to read that. I need you to see that. "By this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things." Praise God. And so that merely says, God is greater than any circumstance that you and I could ever experience. And so this is why we need to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why we need to surrender our life to Him. Because He's the only remedy. He's the only fix. Oh yeah, you can go to doctors, you can get counsel, you can go to pastors, you can go see prophets, whether they're true or false. It don't matter. Only Jesus can fix your issue. Why? Because He created us. He created us in His image. And so, we, recognizing that His grace and mercy are greater than our own guilt. You see, my friends, because God knows everything, Christians can trust that He thoroughly understands and will forgive their sins and help them grow in the areas that they need it most. Praise God. Then what should believers do with the gnawing accusations of their conscience? I battle that all the time. You see, my friends, you and I should not ignore them or rationalize sometimes our own behavior. But we should set our hearts on God's love. If he took the time out to create us and then come and die for us, and He chooses to love us, we must look at that greater love that He has a plan and a purpose, even with this body of flesh that does the opposite. You and I must cling on to Him and be close to Him, especially right now in the days that we live in. You see, my friends, when we start to feel guilty, we should remind ourselves that God knows our motives as well as our actions. His voice of assurance is stronger than the accusing voice of our own conscience. You see, my friends, God will not condemn his children for whom his son died. No, he will chastise us, but he won't condemn us. Satan will condemn you. Our conscience, which is sinful, will condemn us. But guess what? God, as we just read, is greater. It's greater than our conscience. It's greater than our heart that will condemn us. Praise God. I hope you are getting something out of this, saints of God. Oh, that's right. Look what I found in Romans 8:1. Look at this. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Catch this, saints. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to what? The Spirit. Hallelujah. God made a way of escape. Look what he wrote in Hebrews 9:14 through 15. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serving the living God. Hallelujah in the house. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we're going to move on to verse 21 of 1 John chapter 3. Look at this. And it says, Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. See, we have the power now to do that. We have the power, the Holy Spirit. We have his Spirit living within us, saints. You see, John's readers knew Christ's commands, could test themselves by them. And if our conscience is clear, then we can all come to God without fear and with bold confidence. You see, when you and I as believers approach God, you and I can trust that we will be received whatever the request. Because why? Because you and I have learned to obey him and do the things that what? Please him. He's looking for your life to please him, saints. And so this statement follows what Jesus said in his final discourse to his disciples as recorded in the book of John. Let's go there right now. Look at this. In John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be what? Done for you. There is the key. That's the key. Saints, when a believer is remaining in Christ and Christ's words are remaining in the believer, his or her prayers will be answered. This does not mean that all requests are granted. No, it's according to his will. You see, saints, the contents of John 15 suggest that the prayers should pertain to fruit bearing and glorifying the Father. Praise God. You see, my friends, the same holds true for John's statement. Yes, right. We will receive whatever we request. Believers' requests will be honored by God when they are focused on accomplishing God's will. It's all about his will. It's not about personal selfish gain. Oh, that's right. Some of you may be driving around a VW bug, a Volkswagen bug. And some of us will tempt God. Oh, God, I'm praying for that Cadillac in that garage. Lord, turn that bug into a Cadillac. And you open the door, it's still a bug. That's greedy gain. I'm talking about souls. Are you praying for souls to be won? Are you praying for loved ones that God will give them a mind to be saved, a heart to repent? Are you desiring them to be baptized in the name of Jesus so that they can be filled with the power of God and experience what you and I are experiencing in Christ? Joy unspeakable, full of glory. But more importantly, it's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. We've been born of God. We're heaven bound now. Praise God. Is that your desire? If that is your desire, watch them come to Christ. Oh, that's right. We should be praying for souls, not for material things that are passing away. God will take care of all of our needs and supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory. But are you praying for souls? Are you praying for those who are lost? That's the key right there, saints of God. That will be accomplishing God's will right there. Oh, that's right. Praise God, praise God. Let's move on now. Let's move on as we're coming in for a close. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 23. And this is His commandment that we should what believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. Wow. That's the key, saints. That is the key from God. Love one another. You see, John has been expressly exactly what Jesus had said. This had also been His commandment, which is one commandment expressed into a couple of parts. There are not two separate commands, but one, since faith and love cannot be separated. Believers must believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and love one another as He loved us. They cannot love one another without having faith in Christ or truly believe in Him without having love for one another. And so get that clear, saints, in this study tonight. And so we're going to move on to our last verse of Scripture in this Bible study, verse 24 of 1 John chapter 3. Now he who keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He in him. And by this, we know that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given us. Wow. I need you to chew on that for a minute, saints of God, because that's all true of what it is stipulated right before your eyes. You see, saints, God and the believers live in one, they live for one another. The presence of the Spirit of God in each believer's life makes this possible. The Christian lives in the Spirit, and the Spirit lives in the Christian. Praise God. And the best analogy is a human being's relationship to air. People must live in the air so that they can air. Look at this. So that air can come into them. Praise God. That's just in the natural sense. The indwelling Spirit provides the believers with the presence of the indwelling Christ. If the Holy Spirit lives in people, means that Christ lives in them. Ask yourself, does the Holy Spirit live in you? I know the Holy Spirit lives in me because He has transformed my mind to do His will, to let go certain things in my life. Do certain things still raise up its ugly head all the time? And it does for you. But now we're equipped. Now we know what we are facing. Now we know that there's a real enemy trying to tear you down. As a young believer, it's hard to discern that. But now, walking for a while, we go from trials, transition, and then triumph. And we can only be triumphant in the life of Christ. Praise God. Why? Because He lives in us. Praise God. Look what I found in Romans chapter 8, 9 through 11. This is clear. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now look at this. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not of His. These are ones that just say, yeah, I know the man upstairs. Yeah, I know God. Yeah, I got baptized I don't know how many years ago. Yeah, but they are not bearing any fruit. They're still drunkards. They're still fornicators. They're still adulterers. They still do ungodly things. But yet, they say they believe. Well, God right here in His Word says otherwise. Let's read that again. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not of His. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of what? Righteousness. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, when Christ gave His Spirit to live in Christians, He gave Himself to live in them. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed to know that? Look what I found right here. Look at this. Let's continue. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Praise God. Praise God. That's what's going to get us up out of here. The Holy Ghost living inside. Now, let's now go to John chapter 14, verses 16 through 20. Look at this. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may what? Abide in you forever. The Spirit of truth, capital S, Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. Look at that. The world don't know Him. Your unbeliever family doesn't know Him. Your friend, unbelieving friend don't know Him. The one on your job who doesn't know God doesn't know Him. But look at this. But you know Him. Point to yourself at home. But you know Him. For He dwells with you and will what? Be in you, praise God. Look at verse 18 through 20. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you a little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live. You will also live. Look at that. You will live also. And that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Praise God. Praise God. And look what Paul wrote to 1 Corinthians 15. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what else I found in 2 Corinthians 3. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord, there is what? Liberty. We can be free and praise Him and worship Him. But look at this. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord we're being transformed. Saints of God, keep reading your word. Keep loving people. Keep loving your brothers and sisters in Christ. Keep giving unto the work of the ministry. Keep preaching. Keep believing that God will save your loved ones. And watch God do the miraculous. You see, saints, the mutual relationship, believers living in Christ as He lives in them, shows itself in Christians who keep these three basic rules, biblical principles. As we close, let's look at this right here. Number one, just believe in Christ. Believe what He has done for you. Believe what He's doing for you. Believe what He's about to do for you. Number two, love the brothers and sisters in Christ. Oh, that's right. It's a different kind of love. It's a higher form of love for the brothers and sisters in Christ. Oh, that's right. It is. And number three, live morally upright lives. Do the best. And if you struggle in certain areas, there's men that struggle in pornography. There's women that struggle with adultery. There's people that struggle with language, filthy language. Listen, if you're a true born again believer, ask God to ignite His Spirit in you to drive out that darkness. But if He's never been there, you will live a tough, wannabe Christian life. You'll be struggling. Why? Because you have no power. You don't have God's perfect will in you. You've never surrendered. You've never been born again. And that's what you need, saints of God. That's what we all need. We need God's love. We need the power of God. Can I get an amen in the house? You see, the Spirit's presence is not only spiritual, mystical, but it's also practical. Believers' conduct verifies His presence in us. If His presence in us, we will strive to do what's right. If He's void and not there, you'll be struggling to say you're a Christian, but you truly are not. It's like trying to train a goat A goat cannot be trained. It'll do its own thing. A pig will not be trained. It'll do its own thing. It loves the mud. And a goat will kick against any kind of obedience that you try to show it. But a sheep, a lamb, we go baa. We just want to be led. And we follow the one who leads us, and that's Christ Jesus. I'm here to let you know, Jesus is coming soon. How many believe that? How many believe that Jesus is coming soon? Oh, yes, he is. He's coming soon. And he's coming for you and I. And this is why I'm crying out to those who may be logged in on YouTube and Facebook. Maybe you never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm truly believing that God is speaking to you right now. Not a coincidence that you've logged in. And at this time, right now, this very moment, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you, that you would give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. And so I'm going to trust and believe God, that God's able to do the miraculous in your life. If that's you, you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask that you would bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise and glory in the house. Someone just got saved. Listen, if you just got saved, look at down below. Down below. Look at that. That's our banner. Log on. You'll find our email and our phone number. Call us. Listen, we want to pray with you. We want to give you a Bible to put in your hands. Oh, that's right. We want to just bless your life, point you to a good church that'll teach and preach the unadulterated Word of God. And so if that's you, that's what we want to do. Also, I want to show you this. And it's right here. Let me go there. Let me get myself out of the way. Praise God. Here we go. There you go, right there. That's our QR code to our church. Listen, all you got to do is open up your photo app on your phone, take a snapshot or just point it at that, and it'll direct you where you can be a blessing to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. Because look at this, donations are deeply appreciated. Praise God. We're so mighty thankful for all those who have given toward the work of the ministry. And we're going to continue to plow in the field because the harvest is ripe and the laborers are few. Praise God. Praise God. And we are blessed, so very blessed, saints of God, to know that God is in the midst of his people. And so, on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, we want to leave you this benediction, and it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom, his peace, in Jesus' name. And so, my friends, it's time to say goodnight. We love you. We bless you. Can't wait to see you Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita, California. We're there about two more weeks, and then the glory cloud will move and we will follow what God leads. We'll let you know exactly what the new times and place will be by faith in Jesus' name. Love you. God bless you. And we'll see you Sunday morning at 10. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.